Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no plans of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance. We can go when we want to, night is young and so am I.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Wednesday edition of the program.
It's a radio station.
Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson. Ready to rock and roll.
Are we?
Yeah,
I think so. Everybody good?
We had
Davey's checking his feet or something. That's
clipping
good.
Your toenails
good
to over there?
Good to see.
I got bit by a mosquito.
Oh, the horror.
Man. He's battling.
I wasn't complaining about it. You guys are just like...
That's true, but I could see your knee, the way you had your leg all the way up. Like, what's going on here?
It was unusual.
Well, my sock was positioned on it in an awkward...
Position?
Position, yeah. So I was like, all right, let's readjust.
It's positioned on it awkwardly, maybe?
I haven't had my coffee yet. Just you guys just do your thing. I'll take off the first segment as usual. And then we'll slowly become
how many
a part of 3 and Out.
Are you on? Out of the
3.
12 we
I give
do.
Him 3.
3 segments.
3 on average.
Yeah, depending on the topic, 3 is probably usually what I would set it at.
Okay. Just checking.
We appreciate you. Thank you. Love it.
The buttons don't hit themselves.
It's really well said.
It's true. The buttons don't hit themselves.
It's really well said.
Did you watch Heat and Celtics?
No, I watched most of Clippers Nuggets. Did not see it going quite that way. Wasn't surprised that the Nuggets necessarily won. I was surprised at the complete domination of the Clippers in the fourth quarter.
I rewatched the Titans.
Okay.
And then the I really just kept the TV on the NFL Network yesterday. The Vikings-Packers game, I got to watch that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll let you guys talk NBA if you want to.
No, I was just, that game went to overtime. You'd mentioned sad for the Celtics to go down in game one.
Bam Adebayo, my goodness. That block is, it was something.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Johnson called it the best playoff defensive play he's ever seen.
Yeah, Tatum was going in for a dunk right at the end of overtime, and Bam just said, nope.
Did you see his hand on that block? His hand bent backwards over the top of the rim. I mean, if he's any closer to the rim, he might just snap his wrist off. Mm. Incredible. If he goes up any weaker, he has a broken arm. Remarkable stuff.
So Celtics are down 0-1 as the Heat won 117-114. And then game 7 of out in the West in the semifinals, it was Denver 104, the LA Clippers 89.
Doc Rivers continues to kind of stumble in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The Denver Nuggets are now the first team in NBA history to overcome two 3-1 deficits to advance to the next series. 75 years of NBA basketball? First team to ever do it. The Denver Nuggets. Just wanted to make sure everybody knew who it was. You know, it's one thing, I guess, when it's LeBron and that Cavs team, even against Golden State, but the Denver Nuggets against the team that everybody said was the best in the NBA all offseason. Just throwing it out there.
Mm-hmm.
The Denver Nuggets. Okay. We'll make sure it was clear.
Name me a player on the Nuggets.
Well, I watched the game last night, so.
Mm.
Jamal Murray.
He had 40.
Jokic.
I think he had 14 or 16.
Thought it was more than that. You sure about that, boss?
Murray had most points. They didn't get much production from their bench when I checked the box score.
It was 16 for Jokic. You're right. Murray, 40. Harris, 40. Grant, 40. Millsap, 6. Not very good. Yeah, they didn't have much from their bench at all, like 14 points. But it doesn't matter when you got Jamal Murray going for 40. Yeah, they're a really fun basketball team to watch. I think you'd enjoy it.
You think so?
I'm going to give the Nuggets a look.
All right. I'll consider it.
I feel bad for them because now obviously waiting for them is the Los Angeles Lakers. Mm-hmm. And they're coming off 2 7-game series. I thought it was funny last night, though. The Clippers in the post game were apparently very tired. They said they were pretty worn out.
The Clippers.
Clippers.
But they lost, so that doesn't matter.
Right,
they lost. A lot of rest time now.
Well, they said that they couldn't play more than like 3 or 4 minute stints in the fourth quarter, a lot of guys, because they were just so exhausted. And I'm just like, Denver just played a 7-game series, right, and they've played the same amount of games in this series as you, and you had a 3-1 lead, and you had if I'm not mistaken, the Clippers had a 10-point lead in the first quarter. Maybe it was between, you know, sometimes between like the first and second quarter, and then it was just it was a melee in the second half. Denver outscores the Clippers 28-18 in the third, 22-15 in the fourth. And the fourth quarter, at one point, you kept thinking, all right, the Clippers are going to make their little push. They're going to make their little push. And every single time, they would get Paul George wide open for a three. And there, at one point, he hit the side of the backboard.
I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. Side of the backboard. They were missing wide open threes. Denver kept, I thought they did a great job of getting in the passing lanes, creating more offense for themselves. They hit shots. They hit free throws. And if I'm not mistaken, and I may have the number incorrect, but I do know that they went without a field goal from Kawhi Leonard and playoff P, Paul George, in the fourth quarter. Kawhi Leonard, 14 points. Paul George, 10. Leading scorer for the Clippers came off the bench, Montrezl Harrell, with 20. I know we haven't talked much NBA, but I stayed up all night to watch Game 7. This is about the time I start getting into it, right? We get to the conference finals, and obviously Game 7 to decide a team going to the conference finals. A little surprised that the maybe I shouldn't be. Jimmy Butler's a monster, man. He's just like the meanest, most perfect player for that Heat team. I think the Celtics will eventually win the series, but I wouldn't place any money on that. I got no idea.
Aaron Torres talking about the second, the game 7. He tweeted, "Tonight is a huge win for the anti-load management / you should probably play if you're healthy crowd."
That was the other point. I forgot to make that. The Clippers were the load management team in the bubble. Like they did that so that they would not be tired.
Right.
They did it during the regular season so that they would not be tired. They tried to manage their guys. Denver just said, "Well, we're going to play.
And
we're just going to play ball. We're going to be ready."
And then the Clippers were too tired. As it turns out, it's actually better when your best players play and build chemistry with their teammates during the regular season. Yeah, crazy, I know.
Doc Rivers was complaining about, not complaining, he was just alluding to that, you know, the Denver Nuggets, they've been together a lot longer. We just put this team together last year. We're not as familiar with each other as the Nuggets, and I think that's fine. Sure. Okay. But I don't know how late you stayed up. I watched the Scott Van Pelt Sports Center, and they did a really good breakdown of the offense that won the Nuggets this series. Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, it was just Nikola Jokic in a two-man game. Mm. It was basically a high ball screen pick and roll, and then he's got three options depending on which defenders he wants to attack, and every single time that wherever they collapse from, the dude can just find the open dude. And it was a lot of Jamal Murray for three, or kicking out for a wide open jumper, or an attack on the baseline. It was, the Clippers got all this love for being such a great defensive team, and they had no answers last night for Jokic. Commentators were calling Jokic the best passing big man in the history of the game.
I saw that.
Surprising.
It's pretty high praise.
But he did have a no-look over the back for a layup that would have been a layup if the guy got fouled. I would totally buy in. Like, the minute he catches it, he knows where everybody on the floor is. It's actually really impressive. You should watch the Nuggets. I think you'd be...
Okay.
I think you'd like it. It's simple, but it's complex within its simplicity, if that makes sense.
All right.
Well, anyway,
your NBA breakdown. Yeah. The Nuggets have until Friday to get rested up, as they'll take on the Lakers at 9 o'clock Eastern.
And the Lakers have been resting since... Did they win that in five?
I don't remember. Thursday,
bad, I shouldn't have started with NBA, I guess.
Well, what's weird is you have... this happens every year, one way or the other. The East is going to play two games before the West plays game one, which is always weird to me.
But it could end up being a benefit if they, you know, if say Boston wins in five, Miami wins in four or five, and then this next series goes along, you could have a lot of rest before the finals.
Yeah,
the stagger has been weird though this year, because normally there's a little bit more time between the series, and obviously there's an extra rest day because of a travel day for home and away. But it is weird that you're gonna get two East games before you get the first out of the West.
Yeah, Lakers and Nuggets are scheduled. Like, their game seven would be September 30th, if necessary.
I was about to joke and be like November 1st, but how late could the final potentially run?
Well, I think they have it. I thought they already had it scheduled, the finals. Like,
no, I'm saying, like, if it went seven, how long would that be? Like, would we be in November?
No.
Okay.
I would think the middle of October.
Okay.
Because everybody will be, they'll be done with this round by the end of September. So then 2 weeks for the finals, right?
Yeah, that sounds about
They're playing every other day. Game seven, Lakers, Nuggets, if it happened, will be the last day of September. Game six will be 2 days before that. Game five will be 2 days before that. Game four is 2 days before that. I have no idea why they put all the Nuggets-Lakers games on the schedule, but Celtics-Heat just isn't on the schedule at all. So,
well, they've been flip-flopping certain times to get the more popular team to play earlier so that they can get more viewership.
Mm-hmm.
I thought so. Like, last night was pretty late. That game didn't end until, what, midnight? 11:30?
Yeah. Was that not the more popular game, Game 7?
Might have been.
Usually play as late as possible.
Maybe that was only on a Sunday. I don't know. Ratings are down for sports all across the board.
Except for that Tampa...
Yeah, the Tampa Bay
Breeze matchup.
Yeah, the two old dudes have a large following. But other than that, sports, no one cares.
Did you see where Dan Wilkin, his take on the ratings?
No, I never see anything Dan Wilkin says because I'm blocked. I have to beg for people to send me screenshots. It gets annoying.
Why does anyone care about the ratings? Outside of a few TV execs, I don't understand why it even matters. It's like, because we want to know whether people are watching.
Why do
more
you
or
care
less?
If no one reads your articles, Dan?
Exactly.
Outside of you, who cares?
People are starting to wonder if it's just a complete, like, if he's just pretending.
He has become a caricature of himself.
Well, you saw the Saturday Down South flow
chart.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. The, how does Dan Wolkin tweet?
Yeah, the tweet flow chart. But, I don't know.
Did the Big Ten announce an official decision like the Nebraska president said they would?
I didn't see anything. Did they hold off?
You did see, though, where the hot mic for the Nebraska president was caught saying, yeah, we're going to announce Cornhusker football and Big Ten football tonight. Oops.
You think that to punish him for doing that on the hot mic, they said we're pushing it back a day?
No one tells us when we do it.
Doing it tomorrow.
No one releases our schedule with us. Yeah, Kevin Warren probably have like a 10:01 press release explaining all the amazing data they've unsurfaced once they started doing some actual work.
I haven't dug into this yet, but the Big Ten, the Detroit News says Big Ten finalizes football schedule, but testing is holding up final decision. They posted that.
I thought they got help from the government on testing.
They posted that last, it says 12 hours ago, although it says published 3:04 yesterday.
Mm. Okay.
Says the Big Ten has approved the framework for an 8-game conference-only football schedule, ideally starting the weekend of October 17th, but possibly October 24th.
8 games.
Even as one chancellor earlier Tuesday poured cold water on the idea of reinstating fall sports.
Awesome. So still nothing concrete. Love it.
A source close to the situation who asked to remain anonymous because they aren't authorized to speak publicly about the conference's plans told the news about the 8-game plan, which, if started October 17th or 24th, would allow the Big Ten time to be eligible for the college football playoff.
If they only play 8 games, I don't think they should be eligible.
Big Ten championship game would be December 19th. College football playoff committee announces its 4-team field the following day.
All right.
The scheduling revelation came the same day. A pair of Big Ten executives gave wildly different perspectives of where the conference stands in its deliberations over whether to reverse its August 11th decision to postpone fall sports. Wisconsin Chancellor Rebecca Blank, speaking in front of a U.S. Senate committee, said the Big Ten continues to wait on sufficient answers to medical concerns before making any announcement on the 2020 season. After Nebraska president Ted Carter, caught speaking on a hot mic, as you mentioned earlier.
All mics are hot. They're always hot.
Teased a Tuesday night announcement that never came.
You didn't say Tuesday. You said teased a Tuesday. I thought you misspoke Tuesday as Tuesday.
No, teased a Tuesday.
Tuesday night
announcement.
Teased a Tuesday.
That never came.
I'm going to have to use that.
We already
Tuesday's
have
taken.
Thursday? It didn't work as well.
No, it doesn't. It's awful.
It's TH.
Yeah.
We need the T.
Yeah, that's the key.
Can we move optimism?
Optimism Monday? I'll look into it.
That's going to be after a weekend of games that probably aren't going to go our way.
Shut up.
They
stop.
Could.
Stop.
They could.
You're not doing this today.
It's 50-50.
I get DMs and tweets all the time. Cut Davey's mic off. Kick him off the show. I'm trying to help you, man. Stop it.
Oh, I will say this.
It better be good.
It is.
Okay.
So, Denard went to the Oklahoma game on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
He thinks Tennessee would match up really well against the Sooners.
No, you can't walk it back now. You said they'd wipe the floor with us.
Oh, I still agree with my statement. I'm just letting you know what someone...
So the ex-football player with the son on the team that went to the game, you don't value his opinion over your own?
I value his opinion. That doesn't mean
I agree with it.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting.
Now, he did say Spencer Rattler. It was Missouri State, as you kind of talked about. But
how did he just take this and run it with Spencer Rattler?
I don't know.
But
I feel like we should be in Norman.
Whenever you are talking about
ship Davey, can we
a young quarterback with like pinpoint accuracy?
Put a label on it.
The kid's got it.
Poke some air holes in there.
But you should do an Oklahoma podcast. Is there a Tennessee fan radio producer in Oklahoma that we can just trade you for?
Yeah.
Because you would be great down there.
We'll probably have to give them cash too, though.
I really would be great anywhere but here. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. You're really, really fighting for that job, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca Blank specifically cited two areas of concern when the conference initially postponed. Oh, well, of course, when they initially postponed. Jeez, Detroit news. Give me some new information here.
It's Detroit. They're a little behind.
That's true. Always a building burning in Detroit.
Probably true.
Mm. No, it's true. I know somebody that works in the rents in there. It's a really high building, and they
always
look out the window.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm trying to see if there's anything more beneficial in this article.
I don't think there is.
It's all just... Oh, yeah. She was asked if there would be a Big Ten vote this week, and while she wouldn't directly answer that question, she did become the third Big Ten leader to suggest there was no vote the first time around, despite the conference saying in a Nebraska district court that there was an 11-3 vote to postpone. Quote, decisions within the Big Ten are largely majority-based decisions, Blank said. But I'll be honest, we almost always decide everything by consensus. We very rarely take votes.
It just depends on what your definition of vote is.
Just depends on what the meaning of is. This is a mess still.
They can't fit. I mean, they're going to play 8 games. They're going to say they did everything right. They're going to brag about how much extra work they did, making sure it was safe. And then they're probably going to beat themselves out of the playoff. And I'll just sit here and laugh. Or one of the teams will make it and get absolutely boat raced. I'd be fine with that, too.
Michigan's president and Michigan State's president are both infectious disease specialists.
Who? Michigan State's
presidents.
Oh,
according
okay.
According to this.
That would make sense why those two are the two rumored as not playing potentially this year.
Dr. House was an infectious disease specialist as well.
Turn your mic on.
But are they back in school there, or are they all virtual?
I know Michigan was back. I'm not sure about Michigan State. But it doesn't matter if those kids get the virus because they get tuition money. See, it's inverse.
Yeah, we have to
the university has to pay per student athlete for a season. Did you see what Lamar Alexander said yesterday in name, image, and he said the University of Tennessee spends an average of $118,000 on a student athlete per year.
I thought it was $115.
$115.
Taxes, bro. They're tax exempt. I'm just kidding.
I'm trying to see.
But dang, that's a lot.
Yeah,
I wonder what they use to like weight that. Like, oh yeah, well they live in this building that cost us, the rent at, Neyland, the lights. You know, we spend that. It's on the athletes.
Yeah, that figures on the. We're going to take everything into account.
Yeah, I sure would
put it together.
But still,
the Mason tweets in, but the Longhorns don't play nobody. Paul Davey's dream gig. You put Davey in Oklahoma, he would be the Stephen A. Smith of Oklahoma football. Texas! Are you out of your mind? I'm having a very bad day! Spencer Rattler got hurt! What the hell is the world coming to? He got something in his eye. Sorry. Mm. Sorry, old Dave. This is rough. You got a mosquito bite, something in your eye? Hair's a little...
No coffee yet. We'll hit a quick break.
It's because he wore that Duke
out.
Shirt. Oh, yeah, that's right. His AC's
Your
out.
Your AC is out?
Yeah.
There's not much worse.
Oh.
Well, thank God it's not July. You got that going
for you.
Timing
could be better.
Optimism Wednesday.
So that we can have, what was it?
I'm going to
Tuesday,
my
Tuesday.
Tuesday, Tuesday. Yeah, there you go. Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, a fan-run radio. The real Jared says trade Davey for a producer to be named later. It's a thought.
Can we get some compensatory picks thrown in there, too?
Mm.
I'll see what the market's like.
That would be funny if we went over to UT to journalism school on graduation day, and that guy looks like he'd be good. Can you please say
how do you like waking up at 5:30?
Yeah. Can you please say the alphabet? Can you please?
Need you to say Purdue. I need you to tell me what you know about Oklahoma football.
What would the sports talk radio combine entail?
Reading, downloading things quickly.
How fast
from your
can
phone.
You look up information on your laptop?
All the things Davey's really good at. I'm not trying to bag on it, man. I've had my AC go out. It's miserable. It's a miserable time. You can't sleep. You don't want to be awake. I will say you're lucky it's not 97 outside. I mean, 87, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
You got some fans set up? You set up a bunch of like box fans and stuff?
There's like two fans in the house. So
two like ceiling fans?
No. Just blowing more hot air. It doesn't really... I don't really...
But it'll keep you from getting like sticky sweaty. Just the movement.
Opened up majority of the windows last night.
Hmm. Oh, last night, yeah.
Yeah, put the box fan in the window.
Yeah, bring cool the. Night. It's like an AC, really.
Yeah.
Especially right now as you're getting these low temps.
Make sure you turn it the right direction.
Yeah.
You don't want to be blowing your, you know, out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it in there.
Yeah, really, either way might work. Hot air out.
You're a big fan sleeper guy, aren't you?
Every night.
I can't.
Right in my face. I need it right in my face.
I get a sore throat.
You get used to it. You get used to it.
To the sore throat?
No, just the air. Like you might have a sore throat, and then all. I mean, this is East Tennessee, man. Even with the AC, it's still humid all the time. Like right when the weather changes and it gets cold, yeah, you might get a sore throat for a night or two. What are you smiling at? I'm trying to defend you over here.
I'm not going to say it. It's not appropriate.
Thank you.
It was going to be a that's what she said joke, but I held back.
Well, now you didn't. So thank you for the inappropriate comment. Here I am I'm trying to help the guy, you know? Just trying to commiserate. And that's what I get. Good to know. Good to know where I stand sometimes. Mm. Got this AC blowing on me right now. Feels great.
Yeah, that's why you have to sit on that side.
No, no. Mm-hmm. Happy to do it.
Works well.
Happy to do it.
This room was really built for you.
Well, I helped design it.
Perfect.
I helped design the room. I took myself into account as I spaced it out. And
is that what happened?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Hey, when you got ideas, why not use them to benefit yourself?
Hey, who was it Middleton yesterday that tweeted? Somebody just flat out finally just asked him and said, hey, you going to opt out this year?
It was Daryl Middleton. Not only did he say he was not opting out, he said he's going to return next year and take one more year of advantage of this coaching staff. Says he loves Jimmy B, loves Coach Pruitt, loves Derek Ansley. Why would he want to go anywhere else? So not only is he not opting out, he's coming back again next year, which is actually kind of a big deal because you're set to lose some interior linemen. And getting the biggest, maybe highest ceiling one back, I mean, I'm assuming he could still go pro if he has like an amazing year, but to have him back next year would be pretty clutch.
Well, yeah, he. I guess he started it. He tweeted, I'll be coming back next year for a full year of preparation with a spring ball, summer workouts, and fall camp with my guys. So naturally, that led to the question, like, why would you tweet that? That surely, or like, that I mean you're, you know, not playing this year, does it? So some guy named Joe tweeted at him.
Some guy named Joe.
Said, are you opting out this season?
Yeah, because that did have like a I'm opting out feel.
And he quote tweeted it, Daryl Middleton did, and said, no, I am not! 6 exclamation points.
Oh, man. I love how you went 4-6. That was good reading on air. We just talked about that.
Yeah. See? That's what we should do. Put it like 84 exclamation points in a row. And be like,
how quick can you count these?
Go!
That'd be tough.
Yeah. Maybe just like 8. All right, good talk.
Well, I'm trying to do. I have a job to do other than just read exclamation marks.
To a Trey Smith.
Ooh, update. Got a guy coming between the hours of 8 and 12 to check on the AC.
Oh, nice.
So as soon as 20 minutes from now. That's big news.
As early
as. Is someone going to be there? You need to leave early to go let him in?
No, my roommate's there.
Okay,
good. As early as this morning at 8 o'clock. All right. Good news for you, Davey.
Maybe I'm crazy. I think the Daryl Middleton news is huge.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, last year I felt like he was a guy who, early in the season, not so much, but as the season wore on, he got better and better and flashed a little bit more. He was another one of those journeymen. I believe he played at Powell, then Oak Ridge, then went to a JUCO.
Did he go to East Mississippi?
Was that him or was that Gooden?
It's him at Gooden, right?
He might have been there too, honestly. But I felt like late in the year he was playing really, really well. And I just mentioned it, but you're going to lose, or you were at least set to lose, quite a few defensive linemen to bring back a potential starter. I mean, going into this year, he's a senior. There's no way you get him back. And now he's announced, yes, I'm playing this year. I've decided not to opt out, which was rumored a couple weeks ago. There was one more that was rumored. Still haven't heard anything on that. But I said yesterday, you've gotten this far. They haven't opted out. That's got to be a good thing. And now not only is he not opting out in 2020, he's definitely going to return for 2021.
East Mississippi Community College.
Yep, Powell, Oak Ridge, East Mississippi, SCUBA. SCUBA. Was it, maybe Emerson went to the other one?
You mean Gooden?
Yes, sorry. I don't know why. Greg Emerson.
No, Gooden was.
Emerson and Emmett, that's what it is.
Emmett Gooden was definitely, he always needed a pencil from Mr. Westerface.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's 6'7", 305.
Mm-hmm. Pretty big guy.
Yeah, I'll take 6'7", 305 starter returning every single time I can get it.
From 2018, the 247 Sports Comparison has him listed as a comp to DeForest Buckner.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it is a really good comp.
They do have him projected of eventually getting drafted, but he's a day three guy, according to them back in 2018.
So you're bringing
rounds 4-7.
Yeah, probably not that high now.
Well, that was back then.
I don't think he's a day three guy. I don't think he's. I think that's probably why he's going to return after this season.
Yeah, I don't think there's
unless
much
he
of
just
a market for him.
Shoots up.
You think
after this year?
So he's a senior. I just wonder what sparked that comment. Do you think Pruitt and the coaching staff is like just doing a little reconnaissance work? Like, hey, let's do some individual meetings. I mean, not a big deal. Obviously, things can even change. But just what are you thinking about? Like, especially you start with the seniors. What are you thinking about next year? Like, we've got to build this recruiting board. We've got to look at how many people we're bringing in and how, like, the depth chart will shake out eventually. Just what are your thoughts maybe right now about next year? Do you plan to play again? Like, we, you know, and with a guy like this, you're probably like, you know, you're a starter. Like, if you – you're a senior, but you could play again next year. What are your thoughts? Would you even want to come out? Because if you know that you're not going to play next year,
mm-hmm.
if you're a senior and you tell the coaching staff, hey, I'm a senior, in my head I've had this.
Well, wouldn't they only ask that to players they might want to come back? Because if they don't want you to come back, they could probably just say, hey, we're just not going to have room, sorry. But I think Middleton's a guy they would definitely want back.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a different conversation with every player, really, right? Mm-hmm. Every situation could be different. But you kind of start with the seniors, and then you might even ask guys that aren't seniors, I would think. Like, what? I don't know. Maybe that's too far in advance to even know.
What are you, like a Bryce Thompson? Like, hey, man, are you going to go pro after this year for
sure?
Yeah,
just like where's your – because you kind of prepare – like, for your senior year, you prepare like, well, this is it. This is the final one.
Right.
And so if you – let's say you talk to Daryl Milton. He's like, oh, yeah, coach, no matter what happens, like, I've prepared for this to be the final year. Like, as long as we play this, you know, 8 or 9, 10 games this year, like, I feel like I'm, you know, it's just time to move on to the next thing and see what, hope for the best. Like, I have no intention of playing next year. But if they talk to him and he's like, no, man, I'm loving college. You know, this year feels like it might be weird.
I really like the new coach.
Like, I think another year here either way is probably what will be best. So I'm planning on playing next year if, you know, and the coach is like, okay, great. Now we can kind of at least pencil that in and know kind of where guys are.
Yeah, especially as you recruit, too. Tennessee's got two defensive tackles currently committed. If you knew, you know, Middleton was gone, you might say, ooh, probably need to go get another, you know, 6'6", 308-pound dude.
Mm-hmm.
They do have Katron Evans, though. He's 6'4", 320. Pretty good.
So I have no idea if that's what sparked that or not. Or maybe Milton was just kind of sitting around thinking about it. Maybe it was just
maybe he had been thinking about it, and then as camps kind of kept going, he realizes, okay, this isn't as scary of a situation as I thought. The coaches are doing everything right. I feel safe on campus. Do like the new coach. We're going to win 8 games. You know, why wouldn't he come back? Or, you know, for this year, then next year too.
I was wrong. Tyler reminded me it was Emmett Gooden went to Independence in Kansas, but that was on a different season of Last Chance U. So he was on Last Chance U.
I know I said Emerson. That's what I meant.
No, well, I said Gooden was in Mississippi,
right.
But he wasn't.
No, Middleton, Scuba, Gooden,
Independence.
Kansas. Yeah, but Kansas. Both Last Chance U, correct.
Right. Both on Last Chance U.
All right.
There you go. Final segment, hour one. Back at you next. Final segment, hour number one. We talked some Tennessee football. Trey Smith is not happy, Houston.
Do you blame him?
No. He talked to...
I don't think he made his decision based on Cade Mays being on the offensive line with him. But I do think he wants to have the best offensive line he can possibly have alongside him. I'd be mad, too. If this was a normal year, I guess I could get it, kind of, but there's nothing normal about this year. The NCAA's already admitted that with the no eligibility at all anyway. Yet here we are. Still waiting on eligibility rulings for players. Neat.
It doesn't make any sense. If the year doesn't count, like, it just doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what... What year's Cade now?
He'd be a junior.
And so he hasn't redshirted, right? So how does that, if he had to sit out all year this year, what would happen? Like, just nothing happens? He could still then be a junior next year?
And then, correct.
And then let's say he got hurt or something. He could redshirt.
He's not a redshirt.
So he could redshirt next year and then have he could play 20 till 2023. Potentially.
He could also go to the draft.
I understand that, Davey. I'm just asking.
Yeah, three,
if you make a kid sit out in a year that doesn't
three more
count,
years.
That doesn't
three,
even make any sense.
He could have three more years if he was able to play this year. But that's what I'm...
But either way.
That's what I'm saying. If you sit out this year...
It doesn't do anything.
Right, so he just would be a junior when he starts next year?
Yeah.
So no one else loses a year of eligibility this year, but he would lose?
Except Cade Mays.
So not only are you robbing him of a year of eligibility this year, like
that's what I'm saying. Like, even if he could redshirt,
so really
this year,
they're taking 2 years. But yeah.
Even if he could redshirt this year,
yeah, they're taking 3 years and turning it into two, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
While they don't let him play,
right?
That's a good point. So he potentially has 3 years to play if he could play this year. But if he doesn't play, 2 years.
They're making a kid that normally could redshirt this year and play two more years. They handed everybody an extra year, so this kid should have 3 years.
That's what I'm saying. But they're not going to do it that
way. And
I
know he's good, and he probably, you know, hopefully he's really good for us. Hopefully he gets cleared and he's so good that he goes pro eventually or whatever. But it's the dumbest. Just when it's like the inverse of dumb and dumber. Just when I didn't think you could be any dumber.
You can, it's the same
yourself.
Thing, yeah.
Well, yeah, but, the quote goes the opposite way.
You totally redeem yourself.
Yeah, they just don't redeem themselves. They totally one-up themselves.
Well, they think that they redeemed themselves.
I guess.
Yeah, but they didn't. Right. That's what the NCAA is doing.
Smith mentioned that he always wanted to play with Cade Mays.
Well, Cade was committed here. He was supposed to come here. Then we fired Butch Jones. He didn't have time to meet Pruitt. Kirby, cut his dad's finger off to make him come to Georgia. Mm-hmm. They got fed up. Yeah, what are you going to do?
He said, quote, "In terms of Cade, I've always wanted to play with Cade since high school, following each other over the years and staying connected. Then finally, we get to the point where he comes back home. We thought we were going to get to play with each other and then seeing a decision that is basically trying to shoot down the hard work and discredit this kid who, at the end of the day, he's coming to work every day and he's busting his butt and he's going to practice. The people making this decision are just sitting in a meeting room, just drinking coffee and looking at the paper."
I still think – I don't want to let Kirby Smart off the hook here, man. I really don't. I think Kirby Smart's doing just about everything he can to, if not hinder, certainly not help the situation. I wonder if maybe that's why Jeremy Pruitt singled him out the other day, making the golf ball in the woods comment. But I just don't know. I don't know what else you need if you're the NCAA. I don't know if this is punishment because Tennessee was late to file, and so they're just dragging it out as long as they can before they ultimately do clear him, a la Aubrey Solomon. I don't know if behind the scenes Tennessee has been accused by the likes of Michigan, Arizona State, Georgia now, maybe Georgia twice with D'Angelo Gibbs. Like, I don't know if Tennessee has a reputation for maybe some recruiting players. And so maybe there's more to this, but his brother goes here, his family lives here, his dad is in a lawsuit with the university where he lost his finger, his offensive line coach left, his coordinator left. I don't know what else. Like, that's five things. Quarterbacks get to transfer if they don't get named the starter, because the NCAA views that position right. as, oh, well, if you're not starting, well, I can't do that. We can't hurt your future. But if you're a five-star offensive lineman with a top 15 draft grade, nope, sorry. Sorry for your trouble. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
it's very frustrating.
I don't get it.
Especially considering how early he announced. It's just Callum says, so Cade could potentially graduate with Cooper. I guess, yes, technically, that's possible, which would be weird. Or at least play, you know, until they could both leave at the same time. The Mays brothers, 1 and 2 in the draft at their position, respectfully.
Well, apparently, Trey Smith being able, you know, is able to practice a lot more this year than he did last year.
Yeah, I read that. Not surprising. They've got it under control. I was a little surprised that he said he's not an at-risk candidate with his blood clots in his lungs. He says, I guess doctors have told him that that is actually not a pre-existing condition in which COVID-19 would cause extra complications. I was a little surprised by that. But as we get closer, you can see there's a little bit of urgency here. Jeremy Pruitt's frustrated with the contact tracing. Jeremy Pruitt, Trey Smith, and everyone else in Knoxville frustrated with the NCAA. It's tough, too. Like, how do you – again, we mentioned this. I know he wasn't here last year, but how do you get an offensive line fully prepared? I know you're trying to build depth because you never know what week some dude's going to have to be out with contact tracing or a positive test. But it's frustrating to have to wait this long before you start really putting together game plans for week one at South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I do think when Pruitt said we won't be able to do like a game week, it'll be more like fall camp 3 weeks in. I mean, they'll still be practicing the stuff they're going to use in South Carolina, right? Like, I mean, that was more kind of the load management thing where, hey, we're not going to do walkthroughs. It's not going to be the same old same. We're not going to scale down the same way we do normally during a regular season. But I still think they'll be working on specific stuff for their next opponent. They'll just be going, I guess, you know, with more effort. They'll just be going harder. They'll be, you know, making sure that
they're that might be a good thing.
Ramping up.
Right? I mean, that's,
yeah,
you know.
I think so.
We talked about last year and, well, I don't know about the year before. I mean, that was a good West Virginia team. But last year they came out very flat against Georgia State. It's a double-sided coin, right? You go harder in practice. Maybe you're more game ready when you get there, but you're also going harder in practice. There's a better chance of a significant injury that might sideline somebody for week one. There's some quarterback news in the SEC. Well, kind of. Georgia, South Carolina, a few other teams looking to find a starting quarterback.
All right, we'll hit that. We'll kick off hour number two. We also have a projected Tennessee defensive depth chart from 24/7 Sports. We'll hit that as well coming up all in hour two next.